I'm going to start in the middle of my sermon because I'll forget it if I don't. And I didn't say this at 8 o'clock at St. John's, but I want us to hear that second temptation, which is set up by way of context, and it is one of the more extraordinary theological statements in all of the New Testament for Satan. And again, this is not Satan, the figure. That figure on the cover of the bulletin is kind of make these stones become a loaf of bread. But the Satan, remember, was a figure of the Near Eastern judiciary of the ancient world, like the prosecuting attorney, dealt mostly with accusations and finger pointing. The extraordinary statement is, all of the kingdoms of the world have been given to me, and I confer their authority on whom I will. Which is to say, structures of power in the world, all the kingdoms of the world serve themselves, is really, I think, what the theology of that is. Power in the world serves itself. And Satan there is speaking as one, inviting Jesus, if you will worship self-interest, I will give you the glory of the world, because that's what it's built on. So, I wanted to remember to say that, so now I've said it. Now I'll start over again. And it is to these temptation stories that I want to return, but I want to say a little bit about this passage from Romans, because they were using two words interchangeably that really are the same word. And the words that get translated are belief and faith. And it was saying, if you believe, if you believe, if you believe, if you believe, when really in the Greek, it's if you have faith. And it's not even my faith in Jesus. It's even a little more indirect than that. It's the faith of Jesus. It's the way Jesus entrusted himself to God. And do you entrust yourself to God and surrender yourself to God in the same way Jesus did? What it sounds like to our ears, I fear, is that it's up to me to earn God's love and favor. If I say the right things, if I confess the right words, if I say I believe. And what that almost always means is, here are some ideas about Jesus. Here are some ideas about Jesus. Do you think they're true? And on that, your salvation depends. And that's just not the way it works. Not the way it works at all. The important foundational statement of the Christian path is always that God is there before we are. God loves us before we do anything. There's nothing in the world that we can do to earn the love of God. I mean, we could just say that. You can't earn it. You can't earn it. It's already there. All you can do is live in faithful, open-hearted response to it and see it in other people and see it in creation. But it's already there. And we don't need to do anything to earn it. All we need to do is live appropriately in response to it. Huge difference. So now these the temptation stories. What sort of struck me this is that sense of turning stones into bread. And where I went with that is I recalled something that I sometimes read here. It's one of my favorite passages from Isaiah. Let me read it. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and the one who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine without money, without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Hearken diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves with fatness. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that your soul may live. So it's that sense of, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which is does not satisfy? And so we have the sort of the literal miracle, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus refused to do that, saying there are other needs that we have. We don't live by bread alone. But the other thing is, one of our human situations is that one way or another, we are always presenting stones to each other and trying to tell each other that it's bread. Here, why eat this? And the general form of that is, you take something that is not particularly valuable and you try to say it is really valuable. And, you know, just look culturally, politically. I think anyone puts stones before us and says it's bread. The things that we are given for entertainment. The world, in so many ways, just listen for that as the message. This is good for you. Do this and you'll be happier. Your life will be better. And then when you hear that message, and that message is pervasive, ask yourself, am I being given stone or am I being given real bread? Is the invitation for me genuinely, truly, to enter a deeper, more fulfilling life? Or is it something else? And what Jesus said about power in the world, he says, those who have power will use it, and they will force you to do what they want you to do, but they're going to want you to think that it's for your good. The way Jesus says, they want to be called your benefactor. And just as a general form, my suspicion is that the stone in the false bread is always self-interest. When somebody is handing you a stone and they're trying to tell you it's bread, what they're really saying is, I want you to do this because it's good for me. I want this. And that makes everything in the world into a stone. And it's different when it's shared and when it's for the common good. Then it becomes real bread. It's a way of thinking about this general issue. I think it is part of the Christian path to secularize the world. And by that I mean this. The world is full of the false sacred. Money sometimes has that effect. If you are in the presence of a fabulously wealthy person, you treat them differently. Huge power, famous people, fame. Nations, the very same nations that we just spoke about a few minutes ago, who in the vision of the New Testament are controlled by self-interest. Nations will often say, our purposes are sacred. Our purposes are so sacred that it's worth you dying to accomplish those purposes. And that claim has to be questioned. The claim of, you must serve this value, you must serve this entity, you must serve, always should be met with, why? Is this the... when I say we are trying to make a more secular world, it is only in terms of the false claims upon our allegiance. There is one God, Him alone, as the temptation stories continue to say, Him alone, God alone will we serve. And of the many different things that ask us to serve, we need to question that. Why are you asking me to serve? And is it valuable for me to serve? And do you have the right to ask me to serve? As human beings, we're always trying to involve each other in our little projects. And we all often don't understand them very well, and the real motives are kind of buried and hidden, something in it we don't want to talk about. So that may be the something that we don't want to talk about, just the general idea of temptation. I would say there is always an element of self-deception in it. To be tempted is to be put in a position where you might lie to yourself. Lie to yourself about what you really know about the situation, what you're going to overlook, a transient satisfaction in terms of a larger good. I don't know what the form is, but there's always a way that you're going to lie to yourself in order to follow through with what would be called a temptation. To do the wrong thing, you have to lie about it first and tell yourself that it's the right thing. And that is one of the great mysteries of our human mind and conscience. You know, maybe the one quote that I love from St. Augustine, when you don't do what is right, when you know what is right, you lose the power to know what is right. You get really confused. You lose your way. And as a last thing, as an antidote to losing our way and to being tempted, I think I might have said this at Ash Wednesday, but it strikes me as a valuable little practice. Before you do anything, treat it like a meal over which you are going to say grace. And if you are contemplating acting, say, may this act be fruitful. I thank you, O God, for the opportunity to act in this way, and may it bring forth all that you intend. And if you can say that of any action, that you really hope that it brings forth its full fruitfulness, boy, go ahead. And if you can't, understand that there is something unresolved about this proposed path of action, then you need to think about it a little more. Say grace over your life. Give thanks over your life for that which you are about to do, and then do it with your whole heart and mind and soul and strength, as befits a people who serve the one true and living God and not the many false gods put before us in the world who say, eat these stones. No, we will eat the true bread, the bread of heaven, the bread of God.